think I need to start first by yelling at Pam and Eric. I have to repent a little bit, because I'm mad at them. They were supposed to tell me if anything happened before today. Because I know, for me, I got angry. And I can't imagine what you guys are going through, but I'm just angry. And I pointed at God, and it's not right. And I know I'm sinning against it and what He's supposed to, what I'm supposed to do, but I look at the situation and I'm like, it's not fair. I know you've been through it before, and I try not to sin before I get up to preach too much. But I know I have this morning, and I need to repent of that. I know this is God's body, this is God's service, this is yes. God's church. Our children are God's children that He just allows us to have for a short time. This life is God's life that we are allowed to have for a short time. Amen. And He is fully able to, and He's owed the right to take our life at any time.
That's right.
Because it's His.
Amen.
And with our small mortal minds that we have that are flawed and I don't understand. And many times when I don't understand, I get angry.
Yeah.
And the one I get angry, that's the one that also comforts me. I'm like, God, why? Why would you do this? And He comforts me and says, I've got this.
Right.
And I don't know what that means. And I want it to mean what I want it to mean, but it may not mean that. And it may mean that something else happens that I don't understand and I don't like it, but He has a purpose.
Yes.
I don't know what it is. I don't like it. I want to know.
Right.
But I want to tell God I'm sorry this morning for being angry at Him. Because He's in control.
Amen.
And I know as I went through some times of with the liver going through, and you know, Trina has just got told by her dad pretty plainly at a Christmas right before I got my liver that I was dying. I didn't want to look at it that way, and I knew I wasn't doing great, but I look at old Junior Road and I keep thinking of him. He had a liver transplant too, and he had two liver transplants. Just one, he's looking at me possibly. And he went through, he had cancer of the liver, and then had to give him a transplant, and he's 80 something now. And he's been through different health scares and eye surgeries, and all he ever said was, God made this body, He can heal this body.
That's right.
And it's probably stick with me for the rest of my life. But he's right, it's God's body. He made it. He can heal it. He can do whatever He wants to it.
Amen.
What I have to pray for is that I can accept it and be okay with whatever He says.
That's right.
Mm. Because I know the power that He has, that He saved my soul. I couldn't do that.
Mm.
So whatever He brings, just pray that the good would come from it, that He has to go with it. That we may not see it today, we may not see it whenever, but that God's goodness will come down.
Yeah.
And that may not mean what we think, but God's goodness will be all around us. Turn to chapter 19 in Luke. In the Lord, okay, I struggled, the Lord didn't struggle at all, with finding what He wanted for me this morning, and I went lots of different places, and the last 24 hours or so, I don't know what's been going on with me, but I've slept more than I have probably all week. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. This may sound a little strange to most, and it sounds strange to me. But I was studying this morning, and I fell asleep about 4 o'clock this morning. and I had a dream. I'm not saying I had a dream like God or any of those other, I've been spreading the Bible, but I don't normally dream. I don't really remember my dreams, but I do this one. And it was Sunday morning, and me and the boy were somewhere. I don't know where. I think you had already, Trina already went to church. And we were getting ready to go, and I remember going out the door, and I saw his car leaving. And I didn't know where I was at. And I didn't have my phone. For some reason, I had an old flip phone. It was the weirdest thing. Didn't have any of my numbers in it, so I couldn't call anybody because I didn't know anybody's number. And I wandered around for a long time, basically lost. And it was funny because I was waking up and I was finally, they found me. And it was the weirdest thing, my little, what I call my little practice grandson, was on my shoulders, and he said, just go over there, in a real small voice. He said, just look over there, and I turned, and there was everybody. I'm going to tell you, that isn't too much different than my testimony of salvation. I was with my family, and everything was fine, and then I wasn't. I was lost and didn't know where to go. I didn't have any way to communicate that I knew of. And I went around, and by the time they found me, it was dark, and I knew I was supposed to preach that morning, and I missed it. But at the very end, there was a small voice that talked to me and let me know I was okay. And I really thought about that, and then like, that's what you want me to preach this morning. And this is a little different, probably, well, no, this is Zacchaeus. And I don't know why I went straight to him, but I don't know if you remember this song as a kid, and we sang it a lot. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree because the Lord he wanted to see. And as Jesus passed by, he looked up. Now, I always love this part. I don't know why I made it so hateful. But I said, Zacchaeus, you get down out of that tree. So I'm coming to your house today. And that little song that still sticks with me to this day isn't far off from the story. As the Bible reads in the 19th chapter of Luke. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief of the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree and to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, in half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restored him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, today is salvation come into this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. With my mistakes, that's the first through the 10th verse. And I looked through here and I just started thinking about this story that was told, and I thought about the song and going back and forth and just how close it is to the scripture and as a child to learn. And it's a good story. It's a good song because there is quite a message that's in this. I look into the different parts of Zacchaeus that kind of talk about through this. And first off, we know he was a chief publican, or the chief of the tax collectors. Remember, Matthew was a publican. He probably, I don't know if he was any part of Matthew's publican work, but he was the chief. But he was rich. I would say probably because many times there was a not legal dealings going on, and they were collecting money, not in a legal manner, to basically pad their own pockets. But we see that as he goes and he hears that Jesus is going to come, he wants to see him. He wants to know what he's about. And it gets to the point to where he gets there, and not being a very big fellow, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he looked around and he found a tree and climbed it. Now, in the little children's song, it's just a it's just what it is, and he couldn't see, so he got up in a tree to see. But there's more to that. There was a conviction in his heart that he wanted to find Jesus. He wanted to see him. His heart was convicted so much that I'm going to climb that tree if I had what it takes to find him. And as Jesus passed by, he looked up and he sees him. He said, I'm coming to your house. We see that Zacchaeus, he jumps down pretty quick. And he goes. And he just wanted to kind of see who he was, really. But Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house and have supper with you. I'm going to be there in your house. And we don't see that he was put off by it. He goes and makes haste and brings Jesus in happily as he brings him in. And as I've read two or three stories, I look at the people that are around about. When Jesus goes to talk to the sinners, they all start to talk. Man, can you believe he's going to go have dinner with that sinner? We see that many times, that these people thought they were better than everybody else. And, you know, Jesus can't be here for the sinner, so he can't be the Messiah. I'm going to tell you, the sinners is who he's here for.
Right.
Thank God he was here for us.
Amen.
And Zacchaeus brings him in and he tells him, you know, I'm rich now, but I know I've probably done many bad things. And he says, I've tried to make good on all those things. The people that I did wrong, I paid them back four times what I owed them. Back in Leviticus, it talks about for people that were wrongly taken from, that you were supposed to pay them back one-fifth more than what you took. Except for in livestock, you gave them four times. So he's going over and beyond what the law says to get back for money. He says he's given half of what he's got to the poor. I think what we see here is a repentant heart. A heart that's looking to be get right. He wants to make right the things that he's done wrong. So we have conviction, we have a repentant heart, and we have Jesus. I don't know a story of it that's not going to make salvation into that. Because that's how I was saved, with a conviction in my heart that let me know that I was separated from Jesus and from what he had done for me. And I knew that I couldn't do it myself. Finally, I guess I finally figured out I couldn't do it myself. But I went to him with a repentant heart, and he saved me. And as Jesus gets there, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Without Jesus, we have no hope. We just came through Easter, where we looked at his dying on the cross and resurrection. And by the way, I think it might get all told for about an hour on the way home, that I said that I didn't care about the crucifixion. Listen to the rest of it, as I told my family, because the crucifixion means nothing without the resurrection. There was a whole thing there. My son told me today he's not going to take me out of the pulpit, but the crucifixion means nothing without the resurrection. There, it's all together. But he came and died for us and rose again to show that he was who he was. But he came for the lost. The Jews pushed him away. They said, you're not Jesus, you're not the Messiah. You're not the one that's come to save us. But then the Gentiles started drawing to him. He came to save those that were lost. And just a few chapters earlier in Luke, chapter 15, is one of, I know they're all my favorite, but one of my favorite passages talking about one that was lost. I really want to get me a sheep to put on the back of my truck that says 100 on it. Because I was that one. I was number 100. In the 15th chapter, the first verse of Luke, so then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 that nine just persons which need no repentance. It's hard to believe back in March of 1990, heaven rejoiced over one sinner that was saved. And that was me. When the boy was, he was saved in July. He didn't tell us till December. And I remember talking to him afterwards, and I said, man, I really wish Gigi could have saw you be saved. And he said, well, she knew about it before you did. He came after one lost one. You gotta think of, that's 1%. That ain't very much. If you got a dollar, 1% is just a penny. There's some times when you drop a penny, you don't even pick it up. You just keep walking. Well, you might now since they're not minting them anymore, but it just 1% ain't very much. And as you go through the mathematical world of numbers and how much, you know, 1% is, and it's just not a lot. But to Jesus and his children that he has, and what he has to offer, and what they are going to take from him through salvation, he has it for everyone. For everyone. And, you know, the Calvinists may say that there's only a certain number. There's a certain people over here that says that there's only going to be this many. It's going to be as many that's find the Lord before he comes back. Whatever that number is, that's what it'll be. Don't going to tell me nobody can tell me the number right now. You're not going to tell me 144,000 people are going to make it to heaven. I don't believe it. Because it could be anyone can be saved. There's not, God hasn't tagged people to go through life and die lost or die saved. He gave us all free will. And you can go to back to Nicodemus and Jesus, John 3:16, where he died. maybe we can. For all the world, so that all might be saved. What is the start of that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever should call him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. All men.
Amen.
All men. Yeah. I love when my brain does that.
It improves with age.
Yeah. Sure it does. Sure it does.
Yeah.
But we know that Jesus came for the lost. He came for those that didn't know him. He came to save a lost world. And that lost world is everyone. And then he also tells us that anyone can be saved. So saying that there's a certain purple or a certain group of people that can or can't be, it's not what my Bible teaches.
Right. Amen.
The race doesn't matter. The sex doesn't matter. The things that a person does doesn't matter, except if they find Jesus. The things in the past are past, and as you repent and are forgiven of your sins, to me it's still hard to believe they're forgotten. It's not going to be a tag on you when you get to heaven. It's not going to be, yeah, and he had 12,742 sins forgiven. He had 16 million, if you're going to get from me, sins forgiven. It's not. They're gone. It's just forgiven. Paul wrote to Tim and Timothy and to Peter. We're going to Timothy first, which is just one verse here. The 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. Where this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And to Peter. 2 Peter 3 and 9, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Get my glasses out. Is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. It's easy to say, you know, that guy is, you know, he's just too bad to be saved. I've done too many bad things in my life. I've done this, I've done that. I've heard about people that have been in war, that have, you know, knowingly killed many people that think they can't be saved because they've done such evil things. I know that there's been lots of people think they've just done too much bad to be saved. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that there is a sin meter. That's this, you get beyond this and it's just too much. Because there's not a thing that's too much for God here on this earth. There's not a thing as too much sin that God can forgive on this earth to save your soul. Because no matter, I don't know what all that one little lamb did. Maybe it was a bad little lamb. Maybe he just ran off all the time. Maybe he was always into trouble, always in the briars, always getting chased by the fox. I don't know. Even if that's the case, he went to save that one. I like to think that I knew I was lost when I was 10 years old, and I was saved when I was 13. I don't think I was that bad of a kid at that point. The worst stuff came later, but at 13, I wasn't that bad. But it wouldn't have mattered if I had done nothing and been just a good little church boy and grew up as the pastor's son and went to my Sunday school with my mama and sang my songs and everything else, or if I would have been out there stealing and doing all kinds of things as a 13-year-old little kid, as I know they do now, many horrible things that even adults shouldn't be doing, where you see your younger kids doing, he can still save you. He wants to save you. I am so, so thankful to be brought up in this way, to be given the things that I was given in my life, in my spiritual life, and being able to know the truth, and be given a family that taught me the truth and also taught me to figure it out for myself. Because when I studied it and I talked to them and I brought up things that I didn't agree with and we talked through them, and I got to see God in all along the way, that he can talk to me. And as I learn that more and more, and it goes back, and it's a very similar voice to what I heard when I was saved. He just is such a comforting voice. And I can't explain it. I can't say it's a high voice or a low voice or tell you the pitch of it or tell you anything about the voice, but I can feel it. I can feel it in my soul when he tells me to do things. And I'm so thankful. I don't know how to go through life without that. That's right. I know that I've been in places in my life when I wasn't in the center of God's will. I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. And I'm thankful that I heard that voice then. I should have heeded to it. I should have changed my ways, and I should have done different things. But I'm thankful that I heard the voice, even when I wasn't right in the center of God's will. He still loved me enough to talk to me and tell me what he wanted me to do. I'm thankful that I did follow at one point and get back to where I should be and start doing more work for God. And I'm thankful that he's talked to me along the way and tell me things to comfort me or tell me things to correct me. He wants to do that for everyone. The old song, what a wonderful world it would be, wouldn't it? If it is everybody knew God. That's my message this morning. If you're lost, he wants to save you. Mm-hmm. If you're that one little sheep running around, just wild, he wants to come get you and save you. Yeah. But it takes that sheep, when it gets in trouble, you'll see many times that it'll call out and make a noise. Call out to the Savior. Let him know you're over there and you need help. Let him know that you're hurting. Let him know that there's an emptiness in your soul. Call out to him. Let him pick you up and throw you over his shoulder so that you can see. It was said this week, I don't know what it was on, but I don't want people to see what I've done, but to see his footprints as he carried me along the way. So, poem that Trina loves, that footprints in the sand. And I like it more and more now as I get older. She's loved it since I was 18 years old, and we were just kids. And I read it, and I'm like, yeah, that's nice. And as I get older, and I read it now, and I'm like, there was two footprints, and then suddenly there was one. What happened to the other one? That's when he carried me. Thankful that he's carried me through some trying times. Yeah. He's carried me through questionable times when I have questions, times that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. He's carried me through many times, and I'm so thankful. And for those that aren't here today, I know we've heard some more that it was talked about and requested that there's some people that have been in this church that are saved and need to be back in this church.
Yeah.
He wants them back. He's happy to go get them.
Amen.
Happy to go get them. And when he brings them in, they rejoice. And as I look through all these different things about the what we kind of always preach as lost, to the lost people, about Zacchaeus and about the lost sheep, and it goes for saved people just the same.
Yeah.
You're just as big of a sinner as anybody else, just you were prayed through. But any time he wants to save you from your sins, he wants you to repent, he wants you to come to him, and he can bring you right back into the center of closeness of God.
Right, amen.
I have to do that daily. When I skip a day, I feel it. Mama wasn't afraid to spare the rod, and God's not afraid to spare the rod. To let me know. That's my message this morning. Anything on anybody's heart?